Welcome to Report from Capitol Hill, a weekly legislative update with Congressman Joe Pitts.
Congressman Pitts, you chaired a hearing on the crimes of ISIS. Who were some of the witnesses and what did they have to say?
Well, the first witness we had was the State Department Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom, David Saperstein. The ambassador is at the forefront of protecting religious freedom around the globe and is responsible for monitoring countries that have a bad record of respecting religious minorities. There's probably no place on the globe right now where religious minorities are more threatened than the area controlled by the Islamic State. The beheading of foreigners and the burning of a Jordanian pilot are just the most public of their many atrocities. The ambassador told us how more than 1,000 unarmed Shia Air Force cadets were executed when ISIS fighters took to Crete in Iraq. Bassam Ishaq spoke on behalf of Syriac Christians in Syria who had been killed and who had watched their churches be destroyed and had been forced to pay a tax in gold. And perhaps the most oppressed group has been the Yazidi Muslim sect. ISIS considers them to be pagans, only fit for death or enslavement. And thousands of Yazidis were trapped on a mountain last year before American bombing and Kurdish forces drove ISIS away and prevented a genocidal event. According to Rami Abdurrahman of the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, a common game among Syrian children now is performing mock executions. It's a game they've learned from ISIS propaganda videos. So as the House considers an authorization for military force in Iraq and Syria, the suffering of people living under the Islamic State has to be considered, and I hope that this hearing has helped contribute to that important discussion.
The Republican budget was unveiled this week. What are some of the goals in this year's plan?
Once again, and for 5 years now, the House is putting forward a budget that balances federal finances, and this budget balances within 10 years, just as last year's budget did. There are no tax increases in the budget. In fact, it contains instructions to make our tax code fairer and simpler. Our plan also calls for saving and strengthening critical entitlement programs like Medicare and Social Security disability programs. It ends the Obamacare raid on Medicare Advantage. In recent years, the president has siphoned money from this important program for seniors to pay for new Obamacare subsidies. In fact, just this week, I joined a letter that wrote the director of the Medicare program opposing these cuts. The plan calls for an end to double dipping in the Social Security Disability Fund, and this trust fund for this program is running dry, could be empty as soon as next year. Reduction in benefits caused by draining the trust fund could hurt people who are simply unable to work. Republicans in the Senate have also introduced a plan to balance the budget, and I hope that in the coming weeks we can come together and pass a united budget.
The House passed legislation to make scientific data at the Environmental Protection Agency more transparent. Can you tell us more about the bill?
Yes. The EPA has a bad habit of releasing studies to support their regulation without sharing the data behind the studies. And that prevents outside groups from being able to verify whether this is good science or not. Essentially, the EPA is practicing secret science. There are federally funded studies. The American public has a right to know what went into them, especially since the EPA is trying to radically expand its authority. And this legislation has broad support from scientists, two former chairs of EPA science committees, doctors, statisticians, deans of major universities, and environmental scientists. It passed the House this week. Hopefully, will be considered in the Senate. It's about time that the EPA justified its power grabs by making its data available to everyone. They shouldn't be able to hide their work.
Do you have a good news headliner for us this week?
Yes. You know, even as we fight a group that uses Islam to justify its crimes, we have to remember that tens of millions of Muslims wish to practice their faith in peace. Children have a unique ability to bridge differences and form lasting friendships across lines of race and religion and ethnicity. The Lancaster newspapers this week told about how students at Brecknock Elementary have been learning commonly known songs in Arabic. Teacher Lynn Stover learned the language while serving with the Peace Corps in Tunisia. And learning these songs has helped connect students born in America with those who are born in Iraq and other Arabic-speaking countries. Music is just one way to bring us together. So, thank you.
Thank you, Congressman Pitts.
You're welcome.
If you have comments or questions for Congressman Pitts, please write to Congressman Joseph Pitts, U.S. House of Representatives, Washington, D.C., 20515.